Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for the NFL draft. To do that, we have a special guest joining us on the line this morning. We have Chris Stoiber of OurLads.com, going to do a little NFL draft talk with us here this morning. Chris, how you doing today?
Brian, by the way, Chris Stuber.
Stuber, my fault. My apologies.
No problem, man.
Anyway, it's draft season here. We're exactly 2 weeks away, I guess. Or no, it's we're a little less than 2 weeks away. Would be 2 weeks as of yesterday. Anyhow, I suppose in NFL draft land, the big story yesterday was the workout of Eddie Lacy, the running back from the University of Alabama. He's been injured, kind of been putting this off for a while. And I guess, you know, I saw one kind of scathing review from Bucky Brooks of NFL.com kind of criticizing Eddie Lacy and his conditioning, I guess. What is your thoughts on Eddie Lacy as a running back?
Well, he's a powerful running back. Obviously, the Green Bay Packers need some help at that position. And speaking of his conditioning, I mean, the guy is coming off of a knee injury. I mean, he's had some problems, so you can't really judge him just yet on that. I know some people may do that, but again, I think the guy's a strong running back. He saw what he did over his career at Alabama. I think he's going to be a very good running back at the next level. Is he a Trent Richardson type of running back? I don't think he's that type of game-changing kind of running back, but he's powerful, man. I mean, once he has the ball, I mean, he's going to blow up some defenders and he's going to get some yards. So could he be a late first-round pick? I think he's there in that kind of mold, but I see him more as a second-round pick. But a team that needs a running back like the St. Louis Rams or the Green Bay Packers, they could definitely go for him in the late first round.
Another guy who had a recent workout, I think it was Tuesday this past week, maybe Wednesday. Anyway, Cal wide receiver Keenan Allen, kind of one of the top wide receivers in this year's draft class. I know the Packers were in attendance at his workout. Not that that necessarily means anything, but they're interested. What do you know about Keenan Allen of California?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to his agent about a few weeks ago, and during the offseason, he had a little bit of a setback with his knee. At the time, I believe it was about a few weeks ago, he was around 80%. So if you look at his pro day and what he did in 40, I think it was a 4.71 and a 4.75, I don't really look at that and draw a red flag from it. What I will draw a red flag from are the medical reports that doctors have evaluated him on and how teams and what they perceive those medical reports to be for his future. Now, if they see some kind of a gray area there and they're really concerned about longevity with him, I would probably shy away from him. But if he gets a clean bill of health and the reports look okay, but again, that knee is not 100% just yet, I would still think he's a first-round draft pick. But it all comes back to medicals. And again, he's probably one of the best wide receivers in this year's draft. He's my second-rated wide receiver. Tavon Austin is my first-rated guy. But I think Keenan Allen should be in that 17 to 25 range in the draft.
One guy I want to pick your brain on here is North Carolina State defensive back David Amerson, a person I know you've shared your thoughts about in the past. I follow you on social media. You've said that he could possibly be a safety in the NFL. Tell me about Amerson and why you think that.
Well, I think he should be evaluated as a safety. There's no question about it. When you watch Amerson at North Carolina State, what he does best is ball hawk. He's a great ball hawk. He's a center field type of defender. He plays the cornerback position at NC State, but you see him not have those great cover skills. I see him better in space. He is a great reactionary kind of defender. He is very aware of the situations. Not the most physical kind of defender, but again, he's a ball hawk. The guy is going to get a lot of interceptions. I even said this on social media. I said it on interviews that he reminds me a lot of Ed Reed when Ed Reed declared for the draft out of Miami. And I think that's what you're going to see in the NFL is a playmaker who is going to be eventually a steal for some team because I think he's a late first-round prospect. Some teams may not view him until the second or third round. But whoever gets him past the first round, you're getting a steal and a guy that's going to be an instant impact player.
The one thing that gave me pause about David Amerson as a safety is he ran 4.44 seconds in the 40 at the NFL Combine. Is somebody, just because of that, because of his speed, going to view him as a cornerback, though?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can say that. But, again, I think about maybe 5 years or so ago, I think Josh Bullock, he ran a 4.37, you know, the safety coming out. And, you know, just because he runs fast doesn't mean you're automatically a cornerback. I think you have to look at a kid's skill set and see where he fits best at the next level. And Amerson, you know, just because he has that 40-yard speed doesn't mean anything to me. It's just a matter of that skill set and how he translates.
Fair enough. Speaking of safeties, in your mock draft published at OurLads.com, you have the Packers taking Eric Reed of LSU. What is there to like about Eric Reed?
I think there's a lot to like about Eric Reed. I mean, he didn't have the best year this past year. He had a good year. But I think he's a very undervalued type of safety. When you look at him, he's a good ball hawk. He is, to me, a complete safety. He does a lot that you want. He comes from a very good defensive scheme. He had a lot of good players around him. But, again, I think he gets overshadowed by some of those players and what he was able to do at the line of scrimmage and also in coverage. I think he's a very good safety. He fits the mold of the Green Bay Packers. I think at number 26 would be a great selection. If he lasts that long, there's a possibility he could be moving up. But, again, I think he's undervalued. I don't think a lot of people talk about him. I think they talk about Vaccaro and Elam, who I really like Elam as well. But I think what you get with Reed is just a little bit under Elam and Vaccaro. But I think eventually in the Green Bay Packers system, he can be very, very good.
Then in the second round, you have the Packers taking Syracuse offensive lineman Justin Pugh. I think there's some question about where he'll play in the NFL, either guard or tackle. He played left tackle at Syracuse. What do you think his position will be at the next level?
I think that's the great thing about him is that he gives you versatility. And I think the Packers right now, they could use interior help. They could also use tackle help. So I think what he's able to do is, you know, he's just a versatile kid, an athletic kid. I think his best position at the next level could be a tackle. Some teams may view him as a guard, but I think he's athletic enough to play tackle at the next level. But again, it just depends on the system and the scheme that he gets drafted into and where that team ultimately sees him playing. But I think he could be a good tackle, but I think he'd be a very good guard. So again, the versatility helps his draft value.
One last question for you, Chris, here before you go. There was an article published today in Wisconsin media, an interview with North Carolina running back Giovanni Bernard. Just piggybacking off some of the local coverage here, what are your thoughts on Bernard and what he brings to the table?
Yeah, he is a very good running back. He's intriguing. He's only a redshirt sophomore, young kid, 5'8", 202 pounds. You know, I like his running style. I mean, he does. I heard LeSean McCoy kind of comparisons. I've heard Maurice Jones-Drew comparisons. When you hear those comparisons, you know, it's like this kid's destined to be a star. So whatever team gets him is probably going to really luck out because he's not going to be a first-round pick. He's probably going to be somewhere in the upper second round, mid-second round, and you're going to get a very good value kind of player. You have to like his skill set. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. He's good in between the tackles and on the perimeter. I think he's a game breaker. I really do. I think this kid can be very explosive at the next level. Again, a steal on day two.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're a wealth of knowledge. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here at Cheesehead TV. Take care, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
All right. Chris Stuber of OurLads.com joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for his time. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us this morning. So great to have you along. Jamie's not with us this morning. Maybe she'll join a little bit later. But anyhow, our live blog director, we're without one today. But that's all right. We got the new live stream going here at Cheesehead TV. That's really exciting. I'm enjoying that a lot. We don't need to approve comments anymore. You just get your profile set up on live stream. Literally takes 5 seconds. It's Facebook integrated if you don't have it set up already. It's really easy, and you can just join our live blog conversation. You can see it happening there on the side of the page. So anyway, talking Packers football this morning. We are now less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, so we're getting in that mode, getting into that time of year where that's our focus. Before we get more into that, you know, I guess I wanted to touch on a few things. Yesterday, went to the final episode of Clubhouse Live with tight end Tom Crabtree, kind of saying his farewell.
Of course, we know Tom Crabtree. He's been on this show many times here at Railbird Central. But yeah, so I went to say he kind of said goodbye to Packer fans last night. My first time ever going to Clubhouse Live in Appleton, held at the Clubhouse Sports Bar and Grill inside the Radisson Hotel in downtown Appleton. First time I've ever been there. Really nice facility, by the way, and they do a good job there, the folks at the Appleton Post Crescent putting that on. I got opportunity to meet several of them last night. Great people. And but anyway, the one thing I took away from last night's show, and I thought this was just a little bit notable, not that I'm making a big deal about it, but the host that asked Tom Crabtree, did Mike McCarthy has he reached out to you? And Tom said nope. And there was kind of a pause, and they're like, okay then. I did just think that was notable that here you have the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He has not reached out to Tom Crabtree. Big deal? Not really. But something I would probably do if I was the coach of the Green Bay Packers, and Tom did point out that his position coach, Jerry Fontenot, called him, wished him the best of luck, wished him well, that his offensive coordinator and former position coach, Ben McAdoo, has reached out to him. So people in the organization have. But I did think it was notable that, Tom didn't hide the fact that he's not been contacted by head coach Mike McCarthy. Something that, in this cutthroat world of the NFL, something that's probably, maybe perhaps a little bit too cutthroat or a little bit too unfriendly. Would it hurt to reach out to a guy who just spent the past three seasons here at three plus, right? Because he was actually on the practice squad before he spent a whole season here. Won a Super Bowl with them, went 15-1 with them, all those kind of things, and not to reach out to him, at least say goodbye, say thanks for everything you've done. It's not Tom Crabtree's fault. He was offered a better deal by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If I'm him, I would take that deal too. So, to have no ill will towards Tom Crabtree whatsoever in terms of the choice that he made, in terms of going away. But, anyway, that was just one thing I took away, from last night's show. I wanted to pass on that I thought was notable. But really, it was a nice occasion last night, kind of this time of year where, we're not talking, breaking down games, things like that. Just something nice to do. He had two teammates come and watch the show, kind of see him away. His position mates, actually, tight ends DJ Williams and Brandon Bostic, came actually and watched the show. And I think they each answered a few questions as well from the audience that was there. But that was cool, those guys supporting a former teammate and seeing Tom in Wisconsin for the last time in probably quite a while. Who knows? Maybe he'll probably come back again at some point. But for the time being, he's in the process of moving to Tampa Bay. And the Packers offseason workout program begins on Monday. I'm not sure when the Buccaneers begins, but
Kevin Lamb on the live blog says, I enjoyed the show when they ripped on Greg Jennings for going to Minnesota. I remember Tom last night. They said, even though Tom's now a Buccaneer, that both Buccaneers fans and Packers fans have one common enemy, and that could be the Minnesota Vikings. And Tom just jokingly said, "What, Greg? What are you doing?" So, but he was joking. And Greg Jennings offered a 5-year contract from the Vikings. I'm not sure I can blame him either. Just fun. Good environment last night. Good times. And Tom's such a good guy. Sad to see him go. A little bit bittersweet, but anyhow. Elsewhere in the world of the Green Bay Packers, not a whole lot going on yesterday. A.J. Hawk was on the NFL Network yesterday. NFL AM, I believe, was the program he was on, and was asked about quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, this has been a topic of conversation for quite a while, this impending contract that Aaron Rodgers is, you know, reportedly and supposedly going to get. And you know, that they asked A.J. Hawk about, and he's like, Aaron's going to make $1 billion. And that was kind of the one quote-worthy thing, the one soundbite coming out of that interview. They didn't have a whole lot to talk to A.J. Hawk about. I mean, they did and they didn't. They certainly talked about the Packers' defense and things like that, and you know, how it was disappointing to lose in the playoffs last year. But A.J. Hawk says he's going to make $1 billion. And, you know, what's interesting about this whole Aaron Rodgers contract situation is that I think here we are on the 12th, and I think they set the, you know, internal deadline. And I'm going to have to go back through. This was reported just a week or two ago that they wanted to have Aaron Rodgers' deal done by the start of the off-season program, which actually begins on Monday, is the 15th. So they kind of set this, you know, not firm deadline, this flexible deadline of April 15th to get this deal done. And again, this is through a secondhand source. This is not coming from Rodgers. This was not. I'm assuming it was filtered through the agent, but did this come from Adam Schefter, or was it from somebody at NFL.com? Ian Rappaport, maybe. If anybody knows that on the live blog, feel free to share that. But we're literally, apparently, just at least less than 3 days away from the flexible Aaron Rodgers deadline. And when this happens, if and when it does, it's going to be big news. It's going to be big time news, because he's going to set the NFL record for the biggest deal ever, we think. That's the impression we're getting. That's what it's assumed to be. And you know, somewhere in the range of $22 to $25 million per season. Of course, it is tough to always look at just the dollar amount in the years, and because I mean, the amount he actually brings in is all based upon the guaranteed amount of money, and the signing bonus and things like that. That you have to break down a little bit to get to the true dollar value of an Aaron Rodgers contract. Kyle Cousineau, who I got to see last night, by the way. How you doing, Kyle? Good to see you yesterday at the final Tom Crabtree Clubhouse Live episode last night at the Clubhouse Sports Bar and Grill in Appleton. But Kyle says, I have a feeling we could hear about a new contract for Rodgers today or sometime over the weekend, and he'll sign it on Monday. And that would make sense, because all the players are you know, kind of in the process of coming back to Green Bay, beginning the off-season workout program. You know, they're going to be in town. They're going to be arriving over the weekend. So, it makes sense that Aaron Rodgers would, you know, do it, you know, announce today. They'll have some big press conference or something on Monday. Who knows, maybe even Sunday, depending upon when this happens. And so, yeah, I mean, it could certainly, the deal could be consummated very, very soon. Who knows? Yeah, even as early as today, we could be getting an Aaron Rodgers contract update here. John asks on the live blog, how far after will Matthews be done? And, you know, I would have to think, and again, I'm no expert here. This is just one man's opinion. I'm thinking these deals are getting done at the same time. As you know, as we've talked about, Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews have the same agent. So it could just be a deal where they've just been kind of waiting for this. They've kind of been,
you know, waiting to for the players to come back to Green Bay for the offseason program, where they can just announce it and have these press conferences, get them out of the way, have them both at the same time. I can see that happening. I can easily see this situation happening. You know, that they'll announce the deal today or sometime this weekend. They'll have the press conference on Monday when all the players are in town. They'll get it out of the way. Aaron Rodgers will speak to the media. Clay Matthews will speak to the media. It'll be a big deal. Fans everywhere will, you know, it'll be the talk of Wisconsin because these guys are going to get so much money. And yeah, and then it'll die down really quickly because the NFL schedule is going to be released on Tuesday this upcoming week. It's going to be a busy, could very potentially be a very busy Packers news week next week, potentially. Well, it will be anyway with the release of the NFL schedule, but we've got potentially a news conference on Monday with Aaron Rodgers, maybe Clay Matthews. Again, we're kind of waiting to see, but again, this is not going to surprise me in the least if that happens. We've got the release of the NFL schedule apparently on Tuesday. That's I don't think anybody is, the NFL has even confirmed this. I don't know, but it's on like the TV listings. Like you look at the TV listings for ESPN and the NFL Network, and it's something like schedule release special, it says. So we've got that on Tuesday, and then on Thursday next week, Ted Thompson, general manager, is having his annual pre-NFL draft news conference this upcoming Thursday. So there you go. There would be three very newsworthy, notable events, although Ted Thompson isn't going to tell you anything during his press conference. But we'll be covering it anyway. Who knows? Maybe he'll have an amusing Seinfeld anecdote or something that we can talk about next Thursday. Anyway, Kyle Kuzno says that Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com had a report up earlier this week that the NFL schedule release might be delayed and that the NFL took the schedule release show off their listing of upcoming shows. Interesting. I did not know that. So, again, that's something that's been penciled in. So maybe we won't get the release on Tuesday. I'm under the assumption we will, but it's weird that the NFL never really comes out and says when they'll release it. I don't really know why they don't do that. Maybe they have such issues with scheduling and just, you know, trying to make sure everything's perfect. I mean, we saw the issues they were having at the NFL owners meeting with trying to just get the opening weekend game all fixed, and you know, the Baltimore Ravens, you know, it's tradition that the Super Bowl champion opens up on home the first Thursday night of the season. That's been recent tradition, but there's already a Baltimore Orioles baseball game scheduled for that same day. They share the exact same parking lot, so it's impossible to play the games at the same time. And the Orioles were unwilling to move, probably had a lot to do with travel schedules and things like that. Interesting, though, that how many issues pop up when you're trying to accommodate the needs of every NFL team. You've got teams like the Jets and the Giants who share a stadium, so you got to make sure neither of those is at home on the same day or the same. You know, it's possible they could be at home on the same weekend if one plays on a Monday and one plays on a Sunday or something like that. Even then, they need time to switch over the paint on the field and things like that. But yeah, I imagine it is a total logistical nightmare, not a nightmare, but one big task for the NFL to accomplish with the release of their schedule and dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. So I don't envy them in that regard. I'm sure it's a lot of work, although probably a lot of fun work as well, trying to do things like that. After that, we get through this week with possible contract extensions, possible NFL release. We got the Ted Thompson press conference, and the week after that, it is draft. It's all draft all the time. We're getting ready here, and it is really, really tough to say in the at least the 3 years that we've been putting out an NFL draft guide. This is the hardest year I have pinpointing who the Packers might take when they come up with the 26th pick in the draft. And, you know, it's different in different years. If the Packers have an early draft choice, well, it's pretty easy to pinpoint perhaps who they might take or who they might target. But with the 26th pick in the draft, there's so many players who could already be off the board. You don't know who's going to fall that far. I have no clue who the Packers might take. You know, just kind of going through position by position, I'll list for you right now who might be available for the Packers. And this list is going to be so long. Starting on the offensive side of the football, they're not going to take quarterback with the first pick, but at running back, they could take Eddie Lacy. It's been speculated that they might take Le'Veon Bell of Michigan State. I think those would be the only two running backs they would possibly take in the first round. At wide receiver, it seems like a little bit of a stretch that they would take a wide receiver, but we talked about with Chris Stuber, could take Keenan Allen of California, could take Robert Woods of USC. Those might be the few players that I think might be available and the Packers would consider taking in the first round. Not entirely out of the realm of possibility, although perhaps unlikely. At tight end, I think the Packers could take Tyler Eifert if he's there. In fact, I could see that as a likely scenario if he's available. I'm not sure he makes it that far. He might be the leader in the clubhouse as far as the most projected player to join the Packers, just, you know, looking at mock drafts out there. But if he's not available, could they go with a guy like Zach Ertz, perhaps, of Stanford? So there you go. There's two tight end targets the Packers could take in the first round. On the offensive line, you kind of look at the tackle position. Marshall Newhouse hasn't been great. Do they move Brian Bulaga to the left side? So could open up some options at tackle. Guys who might be available would be DJ Fluker, a right tackle from Alabama. If they take him, I guarantee you the Packers are moving Bulaga over to left tackle. Or other left tackle possibilities could be Menelik Watson of Florida State, even though he played right tackle at Florida State, and Teron Armstead of Arkansas Pine Bluff. So there's three tackle prospects for you. And the one interior guy who I think might be available for the Packers on the offensive line is Jonathan Cooper. I think he's the only option on the interior of the offensive line in round one, and that is if he drops. And I don't think he will drop, by the way. So, another situation there where you don't really know what's going to happen there. But I don't see him taking one of the true centers in the first round. And other than Jonathan Cooper, who could, you know, who's a guard but could play center, I think they're otherwise set with, Josh Sitton and TJ Lang, seeing as those guys are wrapped up through 2015 and 2016. On the defensive side of the football, defensive line is tough to get a gauge on for me. It is really tough because, first of all, you got to figure out who is 3-4 defensive line prospects. The two names I see pop up the most are Margus Hunt of Southern Methodist, the real tall guy, and on top of that, Detone Jones of UCLA. So those are the names I see the most, but you get a few more thrown in there. You see Jesse Williams of Alabama. You see Sylvester Williams of North Carolina. That's kind of, the hardest one to get a gauge on would be the defensive lineman. The outside linebackers, I think that's a position the Packers avoid. But if Jarvis Jones of Georgia were there, he's a possibility. At inside linebacker, They could go Alec Ogletree of Georgia. They could go Arthur Brown of Kansas State. I'm not sure if Arthur Brown lasts that long, and they think they might avoid Ogletree simply because of his, questionable character decisions, off the field concerns, things like that. I definitely don't think they're going to take a cornerback, even though some good ones could be available, like Jamar Taylor of Boise State, Desmond Trufant of Washington. I just can't see the Packers pulling the trigger on a cornerback. And then you have the safety position. Kenny Vaccaro of Texas, kind of generally considered the number one safety out there. I personally rank Jonathan Cyprin of Florida International as my top safety. Both those guys are round one options. Eric Reed of LSU, who Chris Stoiber marked to the Packers in his mock draft, is another one. Even DJ Swearinger or Matt Elam of Florida, they're up to five safety options. I think Elam and Swearinger are a little less likely, perhaps, quite a bit less likely. But anyway, I mean, there you go. How many names did I just, reel off here? Potential first round targets. It was about 15, 20 names I just reeled off in the course of a couple minutes. I'm thinking one of those guys I named end up being the first round pick of the Packers. Again, assuming the Packers stay put at number 26, which is no guarantee. For all we know, they could trade up. In fact, perhaps the more likely scenario this year is that I think they could trade back, if anything, simply because, that it's late in the first round. And I've asked this of a couple different guests of ours before. What do the Packers do with that late first round choice if a team wants to jump up and grab a quarterback? Could be an intriguing option. If a team wants to jump up and grab, say, an E.J. Manuel of Florida State late in the first round. Likely, perhaps not, but again, possibility that could come to fruition, maybe. Anyway. So it's Friday here on Railbird Central, folks. Thanks for joining us. It's now past 9 o'clock. We'll be back again on Monday. Again, I'm going to try to line up a guest. I don't know who it'll be, but I've got a lot of NFL draft options, people to talk to here at Railbird Central. But we appreciate you tuning in this morning. Love it when you do. I'll be making the podcast later today, so it'll be up later. But thanks to Chris Stuber of OurLads.com joining us on the show this morning. And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. We'll be back again on Monday, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV. Railbird Central airs at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, 3 days a week. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Down. Is that what happens when you feel the sound? But